as Father Devin said, my name is Father Garrett. I'm the vocations director, so basically my role is I live with the seminarians over at St. Joe at the House of Formation and work with them, and then I travel around to all the different parishes, different schools, preaching on vocations, especially to young people, to consider and encourage them to consider this their calling from God, and this real possibility that He has called you to priesthood or to religious life. And to invite all parishioners to pray for them and support them to build up a culture of vocation. So it's a joy to be with you. And it's providential. The gospel we just heard from the Gospel of Matthew is a classic text about the need for prayer for vocations. As Jesus says, the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. I think this simple phrase and this gospel we just heard really summarizes two major aspects of vocation that are important to understand and to engage with. There's two sides of that. First is this: there is just simply a need for vocations, for priests and religious. The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. There's a lot of work to be done. Someone's got to do it. This is a reality. I remember a priest coming when I was in Catholic school growing up, and he basically did the thing where he's like, look at your left and look at your right, and one of you has to be a priest, right? Somebody's got to bite the bullet, if you will. We need the Eucharist. We need the sacraments. And we can't have those without a priest, so someone needs to do it. The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. This is true. This is a reality. But we don't do a military draft. We don't just pick people out and say, you've got to do it. Even though this need is even greater than national security. Because the other aspect of a vocation is it's this deeply personal call from God Himself. This account we just heard, Jesus names off these 12 apostles, the first disciples, the first called. We even know some of the intimate details of those stories of how Jesus sought them out by name, individually, with all their strengths and weaknesses, with all their personal history. He says, I choose you. In the depth of their heart, they make this response, this commitment to Jesus, everything of their lives, without cost they have received, without cost they give. They follow Him with everything. There is this stark reality. We got to do it. Somebody's got to do it. Then in the most intimate, personal way, Jesus calls and fulfills the deepest part of my heart in my vocation. And I can see both of those aspects in my own story. I didn't always know that I was going to be a priest, but I often remember when I grew up that I said I wanted to help people. I want to help people with my life. I've seen that in our parents, in my own life, in little ways at school, just helping kids with their homework or out at recess. I was most joyful, I was most fulfilled when I was serving, when I was helping other people. So I went to college, I was studying biomechanical engineering, basically designing prosthetic legs and parts, things like that. I thought I could help people in this way. But little by little, I was growing in my relationship in prayer with the Lord Jesus. I was also looking around at my peers and had a small taste of what Jesus felt. As the gospel said, His heart was moved with pity for them. They were troubled and abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. So many of my peers in college, it seemed like they had everything together and everything the world could offer. Something was missing. There's still a sadness, a brokenness. Thought maybe I was called to heal that, to help that as a priest. And so one day, I just asked the priest, what did you do today? He told me, and as often happens, he was called to the hospital. One of his parishioners was sick and dying. As he's driving over, he learns that this person is going to pass away. So he walks into the hospital room. There's doctors and nurses caring for the person, and he just says simply, excuse me, doctors, but there's nothing more that you can do to help this person. But there is something that I can do, so please step aside. And they did, and he gave that person the anointing of the sick, Eucharist that the church teaches us is viaticum, food for the journey to eternal life. Just when I heard him share that story of his day, especially the way he put it, there's nothing more that you can do to help this person. It's like something clicked in my own mind, in my own heart, that's what I meant my whole life. That deepest personal desire of my heart to help, to serve. I didn't want to just help for a time, even a couple decades, give someone a new heart, a new leg. No, I wanted to help them to live forever in heaven. I wanted to help them come to know the love of Jesus for them. Help them to come to know that no matter what sin they committed, no matter how big and how long a time they've been away from the Lord and the church, there was always hope for forgiveness and healing and salvation through the sacrament of confession. I decided to leave college and to enter into seminary. I was there for 7 years. Partly this sense of someone's got to do it, right? There's this need. There's all these people that are like sheep without a shepherd. I'll step up and do it. On some level, that can only take you so far. And for me, much of that more personal commitment, wrestling with that, like for many young men, many seminarians, surrounded around that call to celibacy that goes with the call to priesthood. To renounce, to give up this greatest good on earth of marriage and the family for the sake of the kingdom. And a lot of it came up in conversations with our mom, because, you know, mom, our vocations have an impact on her life as well, obviously. And she, like most moms, wanted us to be happy. She wanted us to be good people. But often I say she wanted from her kids two things. First thing mom wanted was grandkids. And then after that, more grandkids. And so our calling, our vocation, has an effect on her. And so it was a process to work through that, to be able to accept and embrace that for both of us. But there's a tradition in the church that helped me to embrace this call. It's called the Manaturgium. So maybe you've heard this before, but when a priest is ordained, our hands are consecrated with holy oil, chrism oil, so that by my hands, by my flesh, bread and wine would become the body and blood of Jesus to feed his people. So practically at Mass, we need to wipe off our hands, wash off our hands. We use a little piece of cloth called the Manaturgium in Latin. And the tradition is the next day we give that to mom. At our first Mass, mom will be buried with that cloth in her hands. And then when she gets to the gates of heaven, Jesus will ask her, "What have you given me with your life?" At that moment, mom will open her hands and say, "I gave you my son as a priest." And so I did this, gave it to my mom. And first thing I told her was, just in case you lose the other one, here's a backup. She's kind of forgetful sometimes. But then I told her, I wanted to express to her to some degree, like, I look forward to, by God's grace, I too might get to the gates of heaven. And there I'd see a line, a crowd of thousands of souls. People who could honestly say, "I am only here and in perpetual bliss in heaven because Father Garrett was a priest. Because of the grace of the sacraments that he gave to me, because of his life I came to know Jesus and his love and his mercy and his grace, I would not be here without Father Garrett being a priest." And I would introduce him to my mom and say, "Maybe you can say that, but I never would have been a priest without the love and the faith that my mom gave to me." And introduce them one by one to her and say, "Mom, see, my life was never without meaning. I was never alone. This is the fruit of my life. This is the fruit of a vocation. And she shares in that for all of eternity. This is the gift of any vocation. And yes, the God's call in your life has ripple effects into eternity. He's called you to priesthood or religious life, consecrated life or married life. This is the beauty of a vocation." And so for the young people here today, just really want to encourage you to take that seriously. And God has a particular call and mission just for you. So be open to that, whatever it is he wants for you. Pray each and every day, even if it's just an Our Father, a Hail Mary, and a Glory Be. And you'd be open to God's call, and you have the courage to say yes. And then for all of us to pray for them as well and support them. Because yes, if we put, we need them. We need priests. We can imagine if for a whole generation, we all dropped the ball, and no young man said yes to the priesthood, where would we be? We'd be left hungry spiritually without the bread of life in the Mass, and dead in our sin without the sacrament of confession. We need priests, young men, we need you to say yes to God's call in your life. Maybe less obviously, but we also need religious sisters, spiritual mothers in our presence. The church teaches us the parish is the family of God, and every family needs a father and a mother. But for many decades now, if you can look at the statistics, there's been a huge decrease, thousands and thousands of less religious women, especially in our daily and weekly experience of parish life. And so I've begun to liken it to an experience we had sometimes growing up when mom would go away for the weekend and dad was in charge of the house. He was all alone in charge of us kids. And I can say we survived, right? We got by, but we ate out, we had microwave food, and we got away with stuff we shouldn't have got away with. Right? We didn't thrive like we could have because mom was away. For decades now, that's really how the church has been operating. Father has always been here to give us what we need. The spiritual mothers, religious women, are not allowing us to thrive because they're not in our daily, weekly experience. So we need you young women as well. So pray for them. I'm convinced, I'm confident that there's young men in this parish, maybe in the pews right now, that have this same call to be a priest, to lay down your life that others might live forever in heaven. I'm confident too there's young women, girls in this parish, maybe in the pews right now, that's such a special vocation, a call to be so intimately united to Jesus, even on this earth, that we would call you the Bride of Christ. Bride of Christ, that's what a religious woman is. So please pray for them, pray for an increase in vocations to priesthood and consecrated life. And even if the Holy Spirit would put it on your heart with courage to invite a young person to consider these vocations. Because this is usually how it happens. Someone can see it in me before I can see it in myself. That's what they do a survey on newly ordained priests every year, and usually it says the same thing. The vast majority of us say the first time I thought I could be a priest was when someone in my parish invited me to do so. How simple it could be just to say to a young man, I see the way that you pray at Mass. Have you ever thought about being a priest? Not putting pressure on him or making a joke out of it, but with sincerity to a young woman, I know you really love our Lord Jesus. Maybe religious life could be a beautiful life for you. So thank you for joining me this Mass and praying for an increase in vocations to priesthood and consecrated life. I've also left a couple of materials in the back. There's some booklets and pamphlets for young men and young women, one for parents. Also a sticker from our vocations podcast called About 4 O'Clock. So myself and two other priests put out an episode every week where we talk about prayer and discernment. We have a lot of different sisters and priests to hear their stories. We have a lot of fun doing it. So grab a sticker, or just if you search About 4 O'Clock, you should be able to find it. And then I'd love to meet any young people who are discerning so I can pray with and for you. So please introduce yourself after Mass. Or sometimes I found it works better if you know someone should talk to me but's too scared. You can forcibly introduce them and walk away. I'll take it from there. So again, it's a joy to be with you for this Holy Mass. And please join me in praying each and every day for an increase in vocations to priesthood and consecrated life.